or meeting our people on the flat plain of Islamgi, where they'd make mincemeat of him in open battle. Miriam gave a cry of excitement and stood in her stirrups, shading her eyes and pointing. And, as I followed her finger, I felt that same wild thrill of disbelief, giving way to joy that I'd felt in the garden of Lucknow, when we'd heard, ever so faint on the morning air, the far whisper of the pipes that told us Campbell was coming. For it was there, through that shimmering heat haze and the last wisps of mist, on the lip of the plateau beyond the Bekello, as though to a cue, the last actor was coming onto the stage, with no sound of pipes or rumble of gunfire, heralded only by tiny shining pinpricks of light, barely visible in the dusty distance. And I'd have given 1,000 for a glass just then, for I'd seen them too often to be mistaken. Lance points, catching the morning sun. But whose? Bengali native cavalry? Sindhis? For instinct told me they must be ours, and now it was confirmed by eyes that were younger and sharper than mine. "Farangi!" cries Miriam with an added oath. "On Dalanta! The niggers was right. Those vermin of Dawunt and Dalanta should have been destroyed. They have lain down before your people. Aye, they come. See there, they come." "How do you know they're my people?" I didn't know then that Theodore had fallen out with the tribes on the Dalanta Plateau, which lies north of the Bekello River, slap across Napier's line of march, and that the obliging niggers had cleared the way for us, but I could read the consternation on Miriam's pretty face. "There can be no one else. We had word when they crossed the Jeddah 3 days ago. Now they are on the lip of the Bekello, and once across the ravine..." She gave a disgusted shrug and spat, and I gazed towards Salvation, and concluded reluctantly that I daren't try a run for it, not on a miserable abscrew that was bound to founder within a mile. Besides, all I had to do was wait. Napier was far closer than I'd dare to hope, and even with the Bekello chasm to cross, which I knew from Fazel's model was 3/4 of a mile deep, he couldn't be more than 2 days' march away. I absolutely smacked my palm in delight, and Miriam cried out scornfully, "Ha! You rejoice at their coming! But what of their going when the Amhara drive them like sheep back to Egypt?" I knew she didn't believe it, just from her sullen scowl. "If the Amhara are mad enough to try, they'll find those sheep are wolves," I told her. "They'll eat your army of peasants at a bite. No, they'll not need to, for their guns will blow your rabble to bits, and the elephants will trample the dead. Unless Theodore has the sense to go to ground on that bloody rock," I might have added, but didn't.
"Elephants?"
She shuddered. "They're mortal scared of Jumbo, you see, being convinced he can't be tamed." She looked thoughtful, and as we rode on, I guess she was wondering how she'd fare in person if Theodore took a hiding. Sure enough, after a moment,
"Suppose your people triumphed. What would they do to Habesh?"
"To a pretty lass like you, you mean? I know what I'd do."
"No," cries she fiercely. "You would protect me."
"Would I now? In gratitude for wanting me fed into the fire?"
"You were a prisoner then."
She rode closer and said in a low tone,
"Now, if your people triumphed, you could do me good, and I would be grateful."
Softly, with her knee against mine, if you please. "My dear, you're a girl after my own heart," says I. "But what if your side won, eh? They won't, but just suppose.
Then I would protect you from the wrath of Theodore, as I shall even now."
"I doubt if he'll be wrathful with me just now," says I. "Not with the British army on his doorstep." She stared at me.
"You do not know him. Oh, believe me, Ras of the British, you know him not at all."
In fact, she was wrong. I did know him, all too well, but I'd forgotten, you see. I thought of him as the well-spoken soldier I'd mistaken for a bodyguard, given to sudden bursts of temper over trifles, if you like, and didn't care 2 straws about roasting an enemy, but that's African war for you. But I'd not associated that man, who'd seemed to be sane enough, and a reasonable being, with the ghastly tales I'd heard of atrocities, of women and children massacred, of frightful tortures practiced on countless victims. I'd forgotten Gondar and that dreadful garden of the crucified. Yet that horror had been the work of the intelligent, earnest man who'd cross-examined me so briskly, and smiled and joked and dallied with the bonny bint riding beside me. It didn't seem possible. Until, we rode down from the Fala saddle to the camp below Salesi. Then it became all too horrible.